Chapter 24. Ethan bent down and scooped up a handful of sand. As he watched it slip through his fingers, he thought of all the days he had spent worrying over inconsequential things. If only he had understood how precious each second of life really was. He then cracked a smile as a fresh perspective formed. On the other hand, perhaps it was the wasted moments as much as anything else that molded us. Frivolous pursuits and mindless joys. He brushed away the remaining sand. Well, there would be no more of that for him. The towers of Shinzan's palace beckoned. The city surrounding it was filled with the silent ones. He could feel them now. He could feel everything Shinzan had touched. Not that he feared them at all. This fight was between himself and Shinzan. He doubted the Emperor would try to hinder his coming. It would do him no good anyway. Now that he had been touched by Lumnia, dispatching the inhabitants of Noel would be the simplest of matters if it became necessary. The heat in the pit of his stomach was growing stronger. As well as being his own death sentence, it was also the salvation of Lumnia. The effort to bear it was immense. Constantly, it was threatening to burst forth and spill itself upon the tainted sands. But he could not allow it to break free. Not yet. As he reached the border of the city, he saw the Silent Ones standing on either side of the road in a perfect line. Their dead eyes and expressionless faces were as soulless as the demon who had created them. Poor bastards. Snatched from their lives and twisted into something foul and evil. If there was anything at all of who they once were left clinging inside, killing them would be a mercy. The streets of Noel were immaculate, as were the buildings. Sterile. Yes, that was an accurate description. Without life or substance. None of the flavor that normal people gave to a place. New York might have been dirty and often smelled terrible, but it had character. Even the dirt and grime was somehow a part of its charm. It was evidence of life. He had never looked at his home city in this way before. His mother had complained constantly about the filth. But his father, he'd loved every inch of its streets. Here in Noel, there was nothing. The place had been scrubbed clean of its soul. Ethan considered what this said about Shinzan. Why would he prefer this to a city teeming with life? After all, life was what he fed upon. He hates it, he muttered to himself. That's why. He hates his need for it. The promenade leading to the palace's broad staircase was guarded by a line of men in gleaming gold armor, each one carrying a silver-tipped spear, from which hung a small banner bearing the imperial crest. As Ethan drew near, they parted to either side with military precision. It looked like he was being given an honor guard. If the situation had not been so utterly dire, he would have laughed out loud. A man in tattered white robes came down the steps to greet him. His haggard appearance and sagging shoulders told of someone who'd suffered many years of constant abuse. Not surprising at all. Shinzan would be sure to have kept at least a few unaltered humans around to torture. Creating untold sorrow and anguish meant nothing to him. It was merely a way to occupy the hours. Not for the first time, Ethan began to wonder how such a despicable being had come into existence. Surely Shinzan had a beginning, a birth. Were there others like him? Somewhere in the far reaches of the stars, did an entire world of such foul and unbelievably powerful beings live? The thought was truly terrifying. The man bowed.
Greetings, Lord Dragonvane. I am Vraelic. The Eternal Emperor Shinzan has been eagerly awaiting your arrival, and has sent me to guide you.
Is that right? Remarked Ethan. Where is he?
In his throne room, Vraelic answered. You'll be with him soon. I am to ask if there is anything you require before your meeting. The Emperor was quite insistent that you be well rested and comfortable before your business with him is concluded.
Ethan sniffed.
How kind of him. But I am rested enough. It's time to get this over with.
Very well.
After bowing once again, he led Ethan up to the main entrance. The doors were swung wide open, revealing more golden-clad guards standing to attention on either side.
You are Shinzan's servant? Ethan asked, as they twisted their way through the labyrinth of chambers and hallways.
Yes, my lord, he replied. Very regrettably so.
How did you end up here?
I was an officer in the Imperial Army.
He gave a lopsided smile.
Nothing more than a clerk, really. I joined to curry favor with the Emperor in the hope of raising my family's status. But, as you can see, it did not work out the way I had planned.
I'm sorry.
In spite of the fact that this man had chosen to serve Shinzan, Ethan felt genuine pity for him.
What will you do once your master is gone?
Vralik huffed a laugh.
I have not thought about it, to be honest, and I doubt it will do me any good to think about it now. I know who you are and why you've come, but regardless of how powerful you are no match for him. No one is.
Don't be so sure.
You are very brave, but also very foolish. Don't misunderstand me. I would love nothing more than for you to destroy Shinzan. And if you do succeed in this, no one will be more indebted to you than I. Nonetheless, I greatly fear that this will be your last day in this world. You just don't know what he is capable of. The things I have seen are beyond description.
Ethan dismissed the warning with a flick of the hand. Let me worry about what he is capable of. Still, one thing does surprise me. You say that you want him dead out loud. Aren't you afraid of what he'll do to you if he hears you?
Vralik shrugged. I have nothing left but my life. And if he wants that, let him take it. He knows full well how much I hate him. I couldn't hide it even if I wanted to.
Then why haven't you tried to escape?
I have my reasons.
Vralik halted and pointed to a tall staircase.
The throne room is on the other side of the archway, at the top of these stairs.
He started to move away.
Good luck, Lord Dragonvane. I truly mean that.
Ethan nodded his appreciation. Have faith. I may surprise you. Ethan turned toward the stairs and took a long breath. He knew he should have been nervous and afraid. Instead, all he could feel was a sense of peace washing over him. His heartbeat slowed to a steady rhythm. The heat of Lumnia's power dwelling inside him was now stronger than it had been even only a few minutes ago. Soon it would be completely beyond his ability to contain. Somehow, though, he would hold on to it until the moment was right. He had to. The archway was familiar, as was the throne room itself. Martok had projected himself here just after helping Ethan to escape the palace dungeons in what now seemed like such a long time ago. He stopped beneath the keystone. Everything was the same as before. He regarded the dimensions and spacing between the massive columns, all of which might possibly be important features during the impending fight. His eyes then shifted forward. At the far end of the room, sitting with one leg tossed carelessly over the arm of his throne, was Shinzan. Still in the body of Jake, his hair was oiled and pushed well back, and he was wearing a casual-looking blue shirt together with black trousers. A sword with a jewel-encrusted scabbard leaned beside him. With a small flick of his hand, he produced a cushioned chair a few yards in front of the throne.
"Unless you are in a hurry, do please sit," he called.
Ethan crossed over to the chair and examined it carefully. Shinzan laughed.
"There is nothing to fear. Yet. I am not so foolish as to think simple tricks would work on the likes of you."
Ethan took a seat, his arms folded across his chest. "So, you want to talk first?"
"I want to savor the moment," he corrected.
"This will be the last time I am faced with a challenge.
You're about to be faced with more than that, Ethan retorted quickly. Shinzan smiled.
Yes, I was hoping you would come to me unafraid. It will make your fall that much sweeter. And I am impressed by how well you did when confronted by my spiritual self, even though in truth it has never been my best attribute. Sadly, it was necessary to divide myself in order to consume the energy of this world. I won't bore you with the details. Not that you would understand them anyway. But Lumnia has put up quite a bit of resistance. You are her final bid for survival.
A shame I wasn't her first, said Ethan. Shinzan tilted his head.
Why so angry? This is what you wanted, is it not? A final confrontation between good and evil. A battle to the death for the lives of all the people of Lumnia. In a moment you will get what you have been seeking. That should make you happy.
He rubbed his chin.
It makes me wonder what goes on in that mortal brain of yours. Revenge, for sure, and fury, without question. But there is something else, isn't there?
You wouldn't understand what I'm thinking, even if I told you, Ethan replied.
I know who and what you are. You think you're the first person to think they're a god? You've convinced yourself that you're immortal, and you use it as an excuse to be cruel. You think power gives you the right to do whatever you want to people. But I can see through you. I may not be the brightest man in the world, but I know exactly what I see when I look at you.
Shinzan scowled and flicked his wrist.
You could not possibly fathom the depths of my existence. I have seen things that would drive you to madness. You are a mere speck in the ocean of time. What could you possibly know about me? I know that someone has hurt you, and whoever it was, you want revenge. More than anything, you want to hurt them back. But for whatever reason, you can't.
Ethan wasn't quite sure from where this sudden insight had sprung, but seeing the change in Shinzan's expression told him that he had struck home, and hard.
Maybe you're not strong enough, he continued. Yes, that's it, isn't it? Someone hurt you, but instead of moving on like normal people, you hurt others to try and make yourself feel more powerful. That way you never need to feel weak, like you did when you were hurt.
He shook his head.
You're no god. I can see it now. You're nothing but an abused child who grew up filled with fear and hate. And no matter how many people you kill, or how many worlds you devour, that's all you will ever be. Even if you kill me, that won't change. Tell me, who was it? Your mother?
No. It was your father, wasn't it? He could see Shinzan's fists clenching.
That's it. You want revenge because your father hurt you.
I'm right, aren't I? With tiny veins bulging from the brow of his inflamed face, Shinzan glared at him for a second. A single word then flew from his mouth like a frenzied scream.
Enough!
In spite of his goading, Ethan was still astonished at the violence of the reaction. He had been talking purely on instinct, but it was now obvious that he'd come at least somewhere close to the truth. He leapt from his chair. Shinzan was on the attack almost before the sound of his scream had faded. A great serpent appeared at Ethan's feet, hissing loudly and rising up ready to strike. He responded by giving a smart slap to the snake's body that immediately froze it into place, while at the same time using his other hand to send a violent blast of air at the Emperor's throne, completely upending both it and its occupant. His opponent was back on his feet in an instant, snarling and with black flames erupting from both extended arms. Ethan threw up a quick protection spell just before they would have struck him dead on. The serpent was consumed in an instant, and despite his protection, Ethan still found himself sent flying more than 20 feet across the marble floor. The force from this attack was far more intense than anything he had experienced in their previous fight, no doubt because of Shinzan being so close to the source of his power. He needed to get close. That was the uppermost thing on his mind. Springing up, he made a dash toward a huge marble pillar, with Shinzan's attacks chasing him the entire way. Once behind this, he pressed his back flat and waited for a moment. As expected, the column quickly began to crumble from the top. He spun and waved his arms in a wide circle. The falling hunks of rock halted just above his head.
"You can't hide, Dragonvane!" roared Shinzan.
Ethan stepped back a couple of paces and concentrated in anticipation of what he felt sure must be coming next. He was right. The remainder of the column now exploded apart, throwing a huge mass of jagged rock directly at him. Only a few small pieces were able to penetrate the wall of force he had erected in front of himself, but still they hurt, digging deep into his legs and shoulders, the weakest points on his defense. The vast majority either passed harmlessly by or were captured in the mass already trapped overhead, adding more ammunition to his gambit.
"Lars Feisal!" he bellowed.
In a sudden reversal, the chunks of marble raced straight toward Shinzan, who instantly threw up his arms, causing a protective barrier of violet light to appear around himself. However, just before the onrushing rocks reached this barrier, they transformed into a cloud of blue mist. This was the moment. Ethan's legs burst into life, and he ran headlong at his foe. As he advanced, the mist began to ripple and bend, so creating tiny sparks that shot out from within to repeatedly attack Shinzan's protection. He tried to urge his legs ever faster. A mere second or longer of this distraction, that was all he needed. When he was only 10 feet away, Shinzan threw out his arms. The mist became static and almost completely opaque, like the very thickest of fogs. All attacks from within ceased. Ethan continued with his charge. He had no other choice. Though his enemy was temporarily hidden from sight, he knew that he would be equally hard to see for the next few seconds. He made a dive for where he estimated the Emperor's legs to be, sliding along on his stomach through the small gap along the base of the mist for the final few feet. It was a good guess. He felt the tips of his fingers brush against Shinzan's trouser leg as he jumped left to avoid the contact. This was instantly followed by a colossal bang. Shinzan was sent flying all the way across the chamber like a child's doll, colliding into the far wall with an impact that would have undoubtedly killed any normal man. Ethan's hand felt as if it had been dipped in molten lead. Shinzan struggled to his feet, blood gushing from his nose and mouth. His murderous gaze was fixed on the still grounded Ethan.
"You almost won,"
he said, wiping the blood away on his sleeve.
"But now your game is up. Now you will feel the true might of the Eternal Emperor."
Ethan could barely move his right arm.
"Stygia Mons Alevi,"
he called, before struggling to his feet and throwing up a spell of protection. A swarm of wasps flashed into existence around his enemy. They darted in, each one exploding with a violent little crackle as it came into contact with Shinzan's flesh. But he appeared to be completely unconcerned by their presence. It was clear that distractions would no longer work. With the flames emanating from Shinzan growing in intensity, the ground within the chamber began to tremble. Such was the severity of this disturbance, Ethan was forced to cling onto a nearby column for balance. This provided only fleeting relief. The ceiling directly above began to collapse, forcing him to run. He twisted and turned, but no matter which direction he took, the devastation overhead followed him. As great blocks of stone continued crashing to the floor, a searing heat burned into the center of his back, partially breaking his protection spell. He turned quickly to cast another, just as Shinzan was sending a second wave of black fire across the chamber. This one was huge, far bigger than any previously issued, and without question far more powerful. It was as if a sinister tide was bearing down on him, turning rock and marble into molten puddles as it came. Ethan's eyes darted for a way to stop the attack. In an almighty effort, he focused on one of the few columns that still remained standing.
"Lumos, Levi, Mar!"
The marble snapped into three massive pieces, all of which tumbled directly into the path of the onslaught. The moment the fearsome wave touched these, they too became molten. With no time to vocalize, Ethan balled his fists and transmuted the floor around them into a shallow pool of water. Such rapid transmutation required the highest level of magic, and even as the spell was cast, he could feel it draining him. Steam spewed forth with a high-pitched hiss, solidifying the molten marble once again. But to Ethan's despair, the wave was only partially inhibited. Certainly nowhere near as much as he'd been hoping for. With a sickening feeling that it was already too late, he turned to run. It was. The black flames engulfed him, blasting through the protection spell and burning away all of his clothing. The fierce sting of fire seized hold, roasting large swaths of his back and extremities. His legs stiffened, and he fell hard to the floor, only just throwing up his hands in time to prevent catching the full force of the impact on his face. The pain was unbearable. Even though the wave was now gone, it was like the fire was still spreading across his flesh. He looked at a large burn on his arm. It was bubbling and emitting a sickening gurgle. He tried to rise, but found that his legs would not obey his command.
"And to think you chose this over a life of comfort," Shinzan mocked.
A force flipped Ethan violently onto his back, sending even more pain racing through his body. He clenched his teeth, not wanting to give his enemy the satisfaction of hearing him wail.
"I must admit," Shinzan added, "you came much closer than I thought you might. I had figured Lumnia would have some sort of scheme, but I never thought she would actually give you a portion of herself. That was indeed clever."
Not a bit of Ethan's strength remained. The same force as before now lifted him from the floor and carried him toward the other end of the chamber in the direction of the throne.
"What do you want from me?" he croaked. "You've won. Why don't you just kill me?"
Barely had he finished speaking when he was dropped to the floor. Two stout posts materialized, and a moment later, chains wrapped themselves around his wrists and pulled him to his knees. When he looked up, he saw that Shinzan was back on his throne. Though his clothes were still stained with blood, he was leaning forward and smiling with clear satisfaction.
"This is how I envisioned it," he smirked. "You, naked and chained, helpless before me. If only you would beg for mercy, that would make things perfect. But alas, I do not think you have it in you." "Do you?"
Ethan spat.
"Go to hell."
"Yes, that is precisely the response I expected. Perhaps your woman will be quicker to beg. I think I'll enjoy defiling her and listening to her cry out your name as I—"
His smile became wider.
"I think you know very well what I'll be doing."
Ethan lurched forward, but there was no hope of breaking free from the chains.
"I may have failed, but one day someone will beat you. Whatever you think, you are not immortal."
Shinzan raised an eyebrow.
"You really believe that, don't you?"
He stood and walked a few steps forward before continuing.
"As consolation, you should be proud to know that you have been by far the most challenging opponent I have ever faced. And that is no small compliment. Even so, just like all the others, you too have failed to stop me. So, you see, you are wrong. I am immortal. In a few moments you will be dead and I will live on. And there is nothing anyone can do to prevent it."
Ethan caught movement from the corner of his eye. A lone figure streaked toward them, a dagger raised in his right hand. Shinzan saw him coming as well. His arm shot out, and a line of green smoke snaked around the man, lifting him several feet from the ground.
"Marcus," gasped Ethan. "What were you thinking?"
scoffed the Emperor.
"Did you—"
He regarded Ethan for a moment.
"No, of course not. You are far too noble to have planned this, and you would have known what a stupid idea it was.
He shifted his attention to the helpless Marcus, still suspended in midair.
I bet that toad Vralik put you up to this. Am I right?
He chuckled.
Poor Vralik. The death of his woman must have dulled his wits. Well, I shall put him out of his misery soon enough.
Please, said Ethan. You wanted me to beg. I'm begging. Please let him go.
Shinzan merely laughed, while at the same time wagging his finger.
I think not. And though normally I would keep you alive long enough to watch him suffer, past experience tells me I should just kill you and be done with it.
With a flick of Shinzan's finger, Marcus was slammed hard down to the floor just a few feet away from Ethan. Before he could move, chains materialized to shackle both his wrists and ankles. Much as he struggled against them, he was held fast. Shinzan approached to loom over him.
You are going to be quite entertaining, I think. If you are very lucky, you might get to die today. Of course, I may choose to keep you with me for a while longer. We'll just have to see.
Marcus glared defiantly, but said nothing. With great precision, the Emperor kissed the tip of his own forefinger and then pressed it to Marcus' brow.
Wait here for now. I'll be with you shortly.
He wandered back over to Ethan.
Your friends are certainly loyal. I wonder if they will ever regret possessing that quality.
Ethan was about to spit out a reply when a crunching sound grabbed the attention of them both. Marcus was clutching a small rock, which he had just used to smash something. An instant later there was a vivid flash, and then the swirling blue light of a portal sprang into being right beside where he was sprawled. Shinzan furrowed his brow.
What kind of—
That was as far as he got. Suddenly emerging from behind the throne, Vralik raced across the few yards separating him from the very embodiment of all his hate. Uttering a primal scream, he slammed himself into the Emperor at full speed, wrapping both arms around his waist and shoving him violently toward the portal. Shinzan grunted loudly as their bodies collided. He had barely seen Vralik coming, and such was the man's momentum, it was impossible to stop his fall. Had the distance to the portal been even a tiny bit further, Shinzan would surely have had time to muster up enough resistance to save himself. But it wasn't. The distance was perfect. Still locked together, he and Vralik plunged into the portal's all-embracing light. They disappeared almost instantaneously. Only a final screaming curse from Shinzan lingered in the air for a moment longer. For a few seconds there was a disbelieving silence in the chamber. Then, as if to confirm that it really was all over, the chains holding both Marcus and Ethan vanished. Marcus struggled to his feet, but Ethan was unable to rise and slumped back to the floor. Before Marcus could reach him, he held up his hand.
Don't touch me. If you do, it will kill you.
Marcus slid rapidly to a halt.
What the hell are you talking about?
Ethan did not answer. Instead, he looked at the still swirling mass of light and forced a smile. It was a one-way trip. Without someone to open a portal on the other side, Shinzan was now trapped on Earth. He continued watching until the portal started to shrink and then disappeared completely. He shook his head. The heat of Lumnia's power still burned inside him.
You need to get out of here, he told Marcus. Get as far away as possible. What are you going to do?
At that moment, a voice called out Marcus' name from the entrance to the throne room. Lilinora was running toward them at full tilt. He ran to meet her, spinning her in the air in a welcoming embrace.
I don't know why you're here, but I'm damn glad you are, he said after putting her down. I came to save you from your own foolishness, she responded, her tone a mixture of anger and sheer relief at finding him alive. What's happened to Shinzan? Where is he?
Gone, said Marcus. It's over.
At this point, she spotted Ethan kneeling on the floor, his naked body covered with horrific burns.
Sweet spirits, she gasped, starting toward him.
Marcus caught her arm.
You can't. He says if anyone touches him, they'll die.
They approached Ethan together. Lilanora knelt just in front of him and extended her hand.
Tell me how to help you.
You can't, Ethan said, recoiling. I'm dying.
Marcus shook his head violently several times.
No, you can't die. Not now. Not after all this.
I'm sorry. I really am. But there's no way out of this one. Lumnia's power is burning me up inside. I have to release it.
Then release it, Marcus barked. Don't just sit there and let it kill you.
I can't stop it now,
Ethan told him. Every one of his organs felt as though they were ablaze.
I was meant to touch Shinzan. That's how I was going to destroy him. I failed. He may be gone from Lumnia, but he's not dead. Not yet. Then how did you beat him?
Asked Lilanora. Marcus quickly explained to her how Vralik had bundled Shinzan through the portal.
The thing is, he's still connected, Ethan added. Only very weakly, but it's still there.
The source,
whispered Lilanora, a look of understanding forming.
You still have to destroy his source of power.
Ethan nodded.
The power of Lumnia is the only way to be sure Shinzan is gone forever. There has to be another way, she said,
tears streaming down her cheeks.
It can't end like this. I wish there were. But even if there were another way to destroy it, Lumnia's power would still kill me.
He gave a pale smile.
There is one thing you can do for me, though. Would you give me your cloak? I'd rather not die as naked as the day I was born. It wouldn't be heroic.
He began laughing at his own words until a searing pain stabbed through him, causing him to double over.
You have to go. Use a traveling spell to get as far away as you can.
Can you use magic?
Marcus asked Lilanora. She nodded while placing her cloak on the floor.
I was at the outskirts of Noel when I felt the barrier vanish. That must have been when Shinzan passed through the portal. I used a spell to get me the rest of the way here. That's how I made it so quickly.
She stepped back as Ethan marshaled his strength and struggled to his feet. After wrapping the cloak over himself, he dredged up a smile.
How do I look?
He asked in an attempt at humor. Both Marcus and Lilanora were unable to suppress their tears.
Like a bloody Boy Scout, said Marcus.
Ethan's smile continued.
What more could I ask for?
He could feel his time running out. Soon the power would consume him completely.
Now, please go,
he said.
And tell Kat. Tell her how much I love her.
I will, Marcus promised.
Thank you,
was all Lilanora could say through her continuing sobs. With a final nod, Ethan turned away and staggered toward the rear of the throne room, not daring to look back. By the time he reached the entrance to the courtyard, he could hear a rush of wind from the traveling spell, taking his friends to safety. He thought about Lilanora's timely arrival. Had she not been there, he doubted very much that Marcus would have been able to run fast enough to get clear of what was sure to be a massive release of power. He chuckled softly. Maybe something was guiding them, after all. The silver gleam of the vessel reflected brightly in the noonday sun. Though Shinzan's consciousness was now an incalculable distance away, his source of strength still rested here. In truth, Ethan had no idea what might happen should it be allowed to remain intact. It didn't matter. Even the smallest possibility that Shinzan might return to Lumnia was too much to risk. And there was Earth to think of as well. Though Shinzan's connection to whatever existed inside this vessel was tiny, who could say how he might be able to utilize this in his new home? As Ethan drew near, the smooth surface began to ripple and emit a low hum. It was almost as if it feared him, like it knew why he had come.
"Yeah, beg all you want," he muttered. "It won't do you any good."
Without the slightest hesitation, he reached out and placed both hands on the shimmering surface. It was like someone had struck him across the forehead with a hammer. The energy pent up inside him flooded out like a river during the spring thaw. For an instant, he actually thought he could hear something inside the vessel scream. But he couldn't be sure. As more and more of the power was released, so his senses were fading. His final thoughts before oblivion took him were of Cat. She was smiling sweetly and telling him how much she loved him. Just as the last word of this message slipped from her lips, the darkness became total.